Good morning, church. Good to see everybody this morning. Everybody's in a mood to visit with each other. That's good, okay? Let me remind you before we get started this morning about next week. Next week will be a little bit different because we're going to start our Bible classes in here, in the auditorium. So don't forget that next week when you come. And I know you're all going to come to Bible class next week. I'm excited about that. You know, we have that commitment, right? Everybody's coming to Bible class next week, 9 o'clock, starting at 9 o'clock sharp. Our LTC group, which is going to be doing LTC next week after that, they're going to do the rehearsal performance of what they're doing at LTC in the auditorium next week during Bible class, starting at what time? 9 o'clock. All right. So everybody's going to be here at 9 o'clock and going to show your support for these young people who are going to do this program. So start in here next Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, here in the auditorium to support LTC. Right? That's an amen. Amen. All right. Okay. Rusty, let's sing.
I've almost got as much energy as David this morning. If you would stand as we sing our first three songs. After we sing these three songs, we will have a scripture reading and then a prayer. Sing right out. We have a lot to be thankful for. A lot to be thankful for. And the greatest blessing in our life is that we serve a risen Savior and He's in the world today. Sing right out.
How I love the great Redeemer who is doing so much for me. With what joy I tell the story of the love that makes men free. Till life is ended, I will sing songs above. Then beside the crystal sea, more and more my soul shall be praising Jesus and His love. He is everything to me. He is everything to me, and everything shall always be. I will never cease to raise a song of gladness in His praise. Here and in the world above, my soul shall sing of saving love. Life and light and joy is He, the precious friend who died for me. Sing right out. He has purchased my redemption, rolled my burden of sin away, and is walking on beside me, growing nearer day by day. That is why I sing His praises. That is why joy is mine. That is why forevermore on the everlasting shore of love divine, He is everything to me, to me. He is and everything shall always be. I will never cease to raise a song of gladness in His praise. Here and in the world above, my soul shall sing love, life, and light, and joy is He, the precious friend who died for me. Glory be to Him forever. Endless praises to Christ the Lamb. He has filled my life with sunshine. He has made me what I am. Oh, that everyone would know Him. Oh, that all would adore of the mighty friend above and be His forevermore. He is everything to me, to me. He is everything to me, and everything shall always be. I will never cease to raise a song of gladness in his praise. Here and in the world above, my soul shall sing of saving love, life and light, and joy you see, the precious friend who died for me. There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with might. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Our God, whose Son upon a tree a life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set men free, and evermore with him. There is a God, he is alive. In him we from dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am.
Please be seated.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find none of so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
I'll be reading Deuteronomy 26, 7 through 11. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs of wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household.
Please pray with me. Dear God, thank you for everyone that is here. Just help us learn from David and Coach Doty's lesson and take it out of the church and all through this week. I pray for everyone that couldn't be here today, God. Just be with them. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
We'll slow way down now. The next two songs will be songs before communion. Let's put those thoughts of worldly nature out of our minds and get ready to commune with our Lord and Savior.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need in thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear precious cheer unto guide strength. Tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
This next song, we'll sing the four verses and then the chorus one time at the end. So please sing along with me.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love sinners were slain. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Rugged cross, I will ever be true. In shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory so I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross.
If you haven't gotten your communion already, just raise your hand and we'll get it to you. Dear Lord, as we come before you today, let us partake of this bread in a way that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that your Son made for us. As we partake of this fruit of the vine, let us remember all the things that he gave. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. All right, during our time of children's giving, James is going to help me this morning. So you guys come on down, and then you're dismissed for children's church upstairs. It's upstairs this morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. Therefore I will hope in Him.
All right, we're going to have a little difficulty introducing our new members this morning, Ken and Becky Norris. Now, Ken and Becky, where are you? All right, now, Ken and Becky, we need a picture from you. I mean, you know, so I'm sorry, you know, I mean, we wouldn't do this normally. We'd usually put this picture that is exactly what you want us to show, but since we don't have it yet, I want you to come right up here in front of everybody where they can see who you are. Come on, come on. All right, come on, come on. Come on up here. Now, all of you visiting with us now, we don't usually embarrass people like this, okay? You know, but, you know, this is an exception, okay? All right. So, all right, now that they're standing and they're standing in the hall, everybody turn around and look, see who they are. See who they are right there, okay? All right, so we're going to do some meet and greet. So meet each other, greet each other, and say hi to them especially, okay? Okay, church. All right, church. Good morning, church. All right, let's see a show of hands. How many people got to meet the Norrises? Raise your hand. Did you get a chance to meet the Norrises? All right, that's not enough. So after church, you got to meet them, okay? We can do better, Ned. Hi, balcony. I stole one of your members this morning. You might find them down here. Okay, church. I am so excited about Coach Doty speaking to us this morning. I mean, it really is. Yeah, that's okay. You can clap. That's all right. See, it's okay in football, but they don't think it's okay in church. I don't understand that. What is the deal with that? There you go. So yeah, it's special. Let me. I'm just going to do a real quick introduction to what we're doing this morning. And I so appreciate that Sterling was willing to work with me on this. We've been talking about intergenerational ministry. You know, talking about the principles. The hard part is getting down to the practical. You know, how do you do it? What does it involve? And that sort of thing. Because we all know there's one body. It's the body of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's the church. That we're the living body of Jesus. And we know, obviously, from passages in the New Testament, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, etc., that we function as a body, that the church, the local church, functions as a body. We understand that. But the practical on that is a little harder to do. And basically, the philosophy that we've had about doing that is that if we take all the members of the church and all the different ministries that we have and all the different groups that is involved in the church, and we kind of pour it into a funnel of what we call church ministry, that what comes out on the other side of it is going to be the body of Jesus Christ. It's going to be the functioning body of Jesus Christ. Now, there's no doubt when we do that here at the Graham Street Church of Christ, that all the ministries and all the members and all the different groups do make up the Graham Street Church of Christ. But that doesn't mean that we're working together as well as we need to. And when it comes down to dealing with the youth ministry, which is the direction we're going with this eventually, the application of that is our youth may not feel any more a part of this family of God than they would before. And so how do we change that? And unless we change all of us functioning intergenerationally, across the board with our ministries and so forth, all of our groups working together, unless we're all in this together doing that, then we can't make it special to the youth ministry. In order for the youth ministry to function intergenerationally, we all have to function intergenerationally. So I was talking to Sterling about this, that it's really like a team. And boy, I mean, Sterling can tell you about how a team should function. It's such a privilege to be able to have. Do you realize now we got Coach of the Year in this auditorium? I mean, Coach of the State Champion, Stephenville Yellow Jackets, yeah? He ought to know how a team functions. And if you can understand the things he's saying today about team function, you're going to better understand what we're talking about intergenerational ministry. Okay? So that's what it's about. So Sterling, I'm going to pray for you, and then it's yours, okay? All right, let's pray. Father God, the praise, the honor, the glory is yours. No matter what we accomplish, how we do it, how great it is, the glory and the honor is yours. And help us to never forget that. We pray this morning that we will better learn how to work together to be the very best that we can be. May we discover what your mission is for us as a church and give us a vision of what that looks like. And help us to help all of our generations to understand that, from the smallest member of this congregation, through our teens, through our college students, all the way up to the oldest member of this congregation. May we all work together to be what you want us to be. And Father, we ask for your forgiveness for where we have failed you. May we do better. We pray for Sterling this morning. Coach Doty is well qualified to speak about what he's speaking about, not only because he's a great coach, but he's a member of the body of Christ. He's a beloved member of the family of God. He's our brother in Christ. And we're so proud of him, and we're proud that he's leading in such a way that is not only good for football, but it's good for Christ. And we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. Thank you. You know, we challenge our athletes to get outside their comfort zone, and I'm definitely outside of my comfort zone today. Thank you so much, David, for bringing me up and let me talk about the building a team and what that looks like and how we can become a great team for Christ here at Graham Street Church. Let's start in Ephesians this morning, chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 11 through 16. If you'll go there with me, please. It's about how the church members becoming the body of Christ and how Christ is the head of the body. So in verse 11, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, and as each part does its work. Teamwork makes the dream work. Our church family is the Christian team. Our church leaders are the coaches. You, as members, you guys, as your family, are the players. Now, in sports, we believe that good teams, they are led by the coaches. So for our church, if we have a good church, our leadership is very strong. But the great teams and the great churches that make the biggest impact in their communities, it's led by all of us. All of us have a responsibility to lead. Great teams are led by the players and by the coaches. Now, within our church, we have different subgroups that bring us together. We have our family ministry. We have our children's ministry. We have our youth ministry. We have our college ministry, young adults class, young moms. We have the Duracells. We have the missions committee. We have the building committee. We have basic needs. We have our small groups. And we have Celebrate Recovery, along many others that I may have left out. We're all divided up in this way, working together as a whole group for the betterment of Christ. So, in athletics, our team culture is developed in the off season. We don't win championships from August to December. They're won January to July.
individual training and ownership for your family has to be developed through hard work. The most important thing is that you, as your leader of your family, you get the best out of yourself, you get the best out of your wife, you get the best out of your kids on a daily basis. Then you focus on others around you. You focus on pouring into other members in our subgroups. You focus on pouring into our Bible classes. You can't underestimate the power of encouragement. So when you're doing it right individually and you have the ability to influence others, that is very, very powerful. All it takes is a smile. All it takes is a good morning. You don't know what it does for that person and what they're going through next to you. That's how you build a team. That's how you build a camaraderie. Is you're doing it right yourself. You're working hard. You're getting the best out of yourself. And then you're pouring into the people that are around you. The power of encouragement is huge. I heard an old coach tell me one time, the greatest loss in life is enthusiasm. Not a loss of a football game, not a loss of a basketball match, but the greatest loss in life is enthusiasm. Is when we do get knocked down and something doesn't go right, we pick ourselves back up and we go to work with more enthusiasm and passion than we had before. Now, in the game of football, our off-season workouts, we have a lot of different ways that we can build teamwork. We have our championship circuit. We have our MAC drills. We have our competition days. We pick leaders. We take them through certain drills to develop leadership, divide our team up, and we ultimately crown a champion. We have all of our spring sports, which our guys are competing in right now. We have 7-on-7. We have lineman challenges. All of these events get the best out of our guys and draw us closer together. So what happens when our individual pursuits as a member of the team or a member of the church, they don't align with the mission of the church? What happens then? Well, it's our job as coaches to go in and educate the individual player to let them see their impact in what the team needs. Because ultimately, it's all about the team. So we try to educate the player. Let them understand that by being a great individual, you bring value to the team. Even if it's not in the role that player wants. You got to make them see that by what you're asking them to do is the best for the team. Now, we live in a microwave society. We want it now. We want it instant. I'm a sophomore in high school. Well, I should be on varsity. I've earned it. That's what my brother did. That's what, you know, my buddy down the street. I worked just as hard as he did. I deserve that spot. But God has other plans for us. He may have us in the waiting room building our strengths and working on our weaknesses to get us prepared for that moment so we can ultimately succeed. So we can't rush it. Ben Kerbo, our corner this past season, ended up being a first team all-district, all-region performer as a senior. He was on JV his junior year. That was a tough pill to swallow for him. Ben had worked really hard. 9 other players passed him up to go up on the varsity that were sophomores. And he was a junior. He very easily could have thrown in the towel and said, you know what? I'm good. I'm going to go focus. He's really good in track. I'm going to go focus on track. An individual support, a sport, it's only about me, right? I control me. But he didn't do that. He stayed the course, ended up being a star down on JV. He had a great offseason, became a valued member of the team, became a starter, and then look, he was an all-region performer. And now, because of the hard work that he did in football, now he just set the school record in the individual support and the individual sport of pole vault, 16 feet 2 inches. Great story. Now I want to talk about Coy Aiken, our all-star receiver. Everybody remember seeing Coy score a lot of touchdowns this fall, right? Yeah. Every third catch he scored. Well, you reverse it and you go back to the end of June, the 1st of July, he was competing for our quarterback job. And he ended up not winning that job. It was a really, really hard thing for him to overcome. We challenged him as the leaders of the team to go be the very best receiver, what we needed him to be, that he could. Ended up being the leading receiver in the nation. Ended up setting the 7th most yards and touchdowns in one season of all time. So just great, great stories of guys that their role and their idea of what they thought they were didn't align with what the team needed. But they stayed the course. They believed in their abilities. They believed in the coaches. They believed in the leaders of the team. And it all worked out for them. We have an acronym, FAMILY. You know, you hear a lot of sports teams break it out on family and the unity and the brotherhood and the love. But for us, family means forget about me, I love you. Again, pouring into somebody else. It's not about me. Coach K just retired. Duke basketball. Tough pill to swallow last night. Got beat by their team from Brown County, right? So they got beat by North Carolina in the Final Four. One game away from winning a national championship. Every step of the way, Coach K talked about the team. He didn't talk about himself. He said, my heart goes out to the guys. The guys are in the locker room now crying. That's a man that lived it every single day and poured into the players on his team. So forget about me, I love you. So we talked about the components of our church. So let's talk about the components of our football team. We all know we have 3 phases of the game. Offense, defense, and special teams. On offense, we have offensive linemen, quarterbacks, running backs, fullbacks, tight ends, and receivers. On defense, we have linebackers. We have D-line, we have safeties, we have corners. On special teams, we have 5 different units up there, okay? So you can see we have a lot of places for our players to go earn themselves a role on the football team. In practice, we're all broken down as individuals. Then we'll come together, we'll add some groups, and then by the end of it, we're all together. All of that daily work, it gets filmed. It gets evaluated by the coaches, and then we're able to then come back and critique our players and evaluate it all together. The game of threes theory. We believe in every big ball game, there are 3 plays on offense, there are 3 plays on defense, and there's 3 plays on special teams that dictate the outcome of what we do. So it puts importance on every single play and puts value in all of our different groups. We got to have 11 guys out on the field working as one. We have to have 44 on the sideline working as one in one unison. Now, after a tough loss, let's say we got beat 50-49. Well, those offensive guys, they go in the locker room and they scored 49 points. That was their standard. That was the goal that we set for ourselves at the beginning of the season. Very easily, they could sit there and start pointing fingers over at our defensive guys. But then the very next week, offense could put up a goose egg, defense scores a touchdown, and you know, only limits them to 3, and you win the ball game 7-3. So there can't be any finger pointing on our team, because the very next week, the roles could reverse and it could change. We just want everybody to focus on doing their job. Nothing more, nothing less. Just go out and do what you're responsible for our team to do. All right, let's go 1 Corinthians 12:21-26. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Every member of our team is valued. Not every player is a starter, but everyone has a role, and we challenge our guys to look for their role. We have a next man up mentality. If you're the backup, you're not going to get as many reps during practice. You have to take the mental reps to get yourself prepared to go play, because at some point during the season, your number is going to be called, and you'll need to step up and be ready for us so that we can go out and be successful as a team. You know, a lot of times on sports teams, one of the loneliest jobs is being a place kicker, right? Because when are you valued? Well, you're only valued when the game is on the line and you got to go in and win the game, right? So it's the highest of highs and it can be the lowest of lows. I first got to Stephenville, I said, guys, where's our kicking net? I said, well, coach, all of our guys, they play other positions. And they stay warm through the whole course of the game, so we don't have a kicking net on the sideline. And that was just wild to me to think through. But sure enough, we've had All-State kickers and All-State punters since I've been here. So we've been blessed to have that. But everybody has a role and everybody is valued. As leaders, we have to continuously drive home those principles of team. For us, our four pillars, passion, discipline, fundamentals, and belief, we talk about those every single day of non-negotiables, things that we have to get done. Just like as a church family, we hammer our values every single time we get up here and worship. Our team leaders, not just the coaches, but our team leaders have to find value in everybody. They have to understand that everybody is created equally. Now, as a member of the team, we need to look for our role. We have to do our role, and we have to be good teammates inside of our role. Romans 12:3-8 says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. In accordance with the faith of God has distributed each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, these members do not have the same function. So in Christ, we, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to the other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Okay, what happens when adversity hits? It's all good and all warm and fuzzy. We're all headed the same direction. And then, maybe we have a disagreement come up. Maybe we don't necessarily see eye to eye on something that's going on here in the church. Well, in athletics, I've come to figure out that all parents And super fans, we're blessed here in Stephenville to have a lot of super fans, right? We love our Yellow Jackets and Honeybees. They're all crazy. All of them are crazy. So Kip and my fifth graders playing in a spring league basketball tournament. And we're over in Gordon. Sometimes we play in Gordon. Sometimes we play over in Santo. So he's up there. He got fouled shooting. And so he's going to go to the free throw line. What I thought, he was going to get two free throws. Well, he shot the first one, missed it. The other team brought the ball up. And I got frustrated. And I threw my hat down. Some of you guys were there. Out of frustration, and this little 18-year-old that was reffing, getting $3.25 an hour for doing this for us, was getting an earful from me of, why didn't he get another shot? It was a shooting foul. It wasn't a one-and-one. It was a shooting foul. Well, he looks up at me and said, Coach, get one shot for 2 points. Well, the problem with that was over in Santo, we played the week earlier, they played by different rules. So I took it. My wife looked at me and said, all parents are crazy. So when I say that, I'm including myself on that. We're all crazy about our family and our loved ones, and we'll do anything for them, and we want the best for them. We have found out that communication is key. Not over text message, not over email. A lot of things can be misinterpreted. Through text, through email. Face-to-face meeting, open communication, honesty. We'll talk about the student's strengths. We'll talk about the areas in which the student needs to improve. We stay real positive. And sometimes we have to just agree to disagree. And that's all good when the meeting's over, but we've got to have that agreement when we go home. Because that's where the bad part can set in. Because as a parent, we have the ability to negatively affect our son or daughter. We have the ability with our body language, maybe when we come back and watch them compete, we have the ability to sour the football team and what we're trying to accomplish by talking about how bad the leadership is on the team and how we need to change coaches instead of just being positive and pouring into your son and getting the best out of your son. So we just need to stay positive and get the very best out of each other. Openly communicate with one another. As leaders, we go through hard times. There can be discouragement. Maybe really trying to bring up new ideas, new ways of doing things, and you're not getting a very good response. Just want to challenge all of us to just stay the course, believe in what we believe in, and never give up. It's one of our mottos we talk about in our coaches' meeting before the season starts. Never give up on a kid. They're going to make some bad decisions. But we're there to help them through that. Never give up on a kid. Never give up on a family. Never give up on a group. We got to practice what we preach. We tell kids all the time, hey, control what you can control. Well, sometimes as leaders, we don't do that very well. Now, we think about things that we don't have control of, that we can't manage. And so a lot of times we need to practice what we preach. Get a fresh start. Give the kid a do-over. Give another group here the opportunity to start back over. Leadership is it's a calling from God. He has you in that role for a reason. Because he believes in you and he knows the works that you are going to do with other people. Same for us. It's a calling. It's taking young men and making them good citizens, good husbands, and good fathers. If you just continue to hit it in the same spot, that tree eventually is going to fall over. So don't get discouraged. Continue to lead. Your work although it's not seen at the moment, is making a major impact. What will keep us from reaching our full potential? Now, this is something that can affect any sports team, any organization, your business, your work outside of church, and it also affects churches. What's going to slow us down from reaching our goals? And the number one thing that tears down any of those groups is selfishness and jealousy. It's when we become so bitter towards a teammate that we lose sight of what is important. And for me and my job, what's important is the team and us all moving in the same direction. For us as a church, our mission is to love and serve the Lord and love our brother. Never lose sight of that, and never let these worldly desires impact that. Also, next thing is outside influences create negative perceptions. We know the work that we're doing inside this church. Don't let anybody from the outside come in and try to deter us or stop us from doing what we believe in through the Word of God. Talent doesn't guarantee success, but teamwork and love does. We could have the best leaders in the whole state, but that does not guarantee us success. Love and working together does. 2017, Coach Kitley and I had the honor to coach some very talented football players. We sent them to OU, to University of Texas, Arkansas, North Texas, and Texas A&M. All on one 5A team outside of Houston. That team never came together as a family. That team never bonded. Despite our best efforts, that season we went 5-5. Hurricane, we lost one game, so we went in the playoffs 5-4. We got third in our district, therefore we got the number 4 team in the state there in the first round, and we got beat. So talent doesn't guarantee success. Early on at our parent meetings this past summer, I talked about, man, I really do think we got something special going on. And that belief came from our guys and how hard they worked in the offseason. Not only the work, but the way they did it. How they bonded together as a family. How they believed in each other and how they got the best out of each other. And that's the reason for the success. Is we're all working together, and we accomplished so much this year. But like Jim Harbaugh, now the head coach at Michigan, likes to say, his senior year, he went in and talked to his head coach. Before the season, he asked him, Coach, we got a lot of guys coming back. How good do you think we're going to be this year? The coach looked at him and said, come back and ask me in 20 years. I'll let you know how well we did as coaches this year. What type of leadership did we put in place for you for the rest of your life? Our definition of success is love and unity for Jesus Christ. Matthew 22:37-39 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So as we bring in this new youth minister in the coming months, I challenge all of us to walk alongside him, to help when needed, and to serve when needed. He's not in this alone. We're all there working together as a church family, no matter what generation, no matter what subgroup you're a part of, but for the betterment of our church. So let's walk, let's help, and let's serve this new ministry as he comes in. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm not going to try to add anything to that. Let me just close with this. And, you know, I haven't been at the end of any of Coach's practice. So if he changes to do what I'm talking about, don't blame it on me, okay? Because this is not. But I tell you, you remind me so much of my junior high coach. And the way we did it, we went through ninth grade with junior high. And between the off season from eighth grade to ninth grade, the coach came to me, and he always called me Bearden. It was always Bearden. You know, it's always Bearden, you know, the last name. But he came to me, he said, "David, I want to talk to you for a little bit. Come by my office." So I went by. He said, "David, I think you could make a fine quarterback." Now, that's not what I played. And I had never had any intention of being quarterback, and I played other positions. I came by and talked to him. He said, "Let's work on that." And from that day, he started teaching me about football. You know, he started teaching me about how every part of the team works. And he said, "You know, you're going to be captain of the team next year. And this is what you need to do." So he worked on me and everything like that. So he had this ritual at the end of every practice, I don't care how hard practice was, I don't care whether it was two-a-days or it was in the season, in between games, after every practice we ran line drills. So one time he said, "David, you know why we do that?" And I said, "Not really, sir." He said, "Because we're going to finish strong. We're going to finish strong." So I realized that every year, as we started in August, the two-a-days, we'd run those line drills, and he'd come and he'd have us, he'd say, "Bring it in, boys, kneel down, heads up here." It was the same thing. He ended practice every time that same way. Line drills, "Bring it in, boys, take a knee, heads up here." He didn't want us hanging our head down. He wanted us focused on him. He said, "We run line drills every practice because in the game we're going to finish strong. No matter what the score on the scoreboard, win or lose, we're going to be running the last play all out. We're going to finish strong. And we're going to finish strong together." And I've applied that in everything in my life. It especially applies to what we're doing in church. Brothers and sisters, I don't care what position you play. I don't care how old you are. We need to do it together. And we need to finish strong. We need to be running all out, no matter how tough this game gets. If we want our kids to be faithful for life, we've got to all invest in it. And Coach Doty, you have just illustrated that so well for us today. I thank you for that. I think that's what this is about. And church, I would ask you this morning that if you haven't been giving it your best, if there's something that's holding you back from being together with the group, let's deal with it. Let's talk face to face, like Coach said. Let's deal with it. And if you're not giving it your best effort all the way to the end, let's work on it. Let me encourage you. Encourage each other. Let's finish strong, and let's finish strong together. Because church, this community needs us. The young people of this time in life, more than a long way back in life at least, they need us especially now. This is a tough time for young people, and they need us. Let's finish strong together. And God will bless us. Amen? All right, church. This morning, if there's somebody here that you've decided today is the day I want to become a Christian, today I want to give my life to Jesus, we want to help you do that. Today, this morning, if there's someone that you know you've been going in the wrong direction in your relationship with Jesus and you'd like to get that straightened out, we'd love to help you. This morning, if you've been visiting and you're looking for a church home and you just haven't quite decided where you want to put your roots down to serve the Lord, we would love to help you make this your home and be a part of this church family and serve God together with us. This morning, if there's somebody that you know that you've hurt, you've not been the teammate you need to be, and you need to apologize, I encourage you to do that. Don't let another day go by without going to that brother or sister and just telling them, hey, I know I hurt you, I'm sorry. But if you need help with that, if you want us to pray for you so that you can get that relationship right, we'd love to do that. We're here because we serve a risen Savior. We're here, and I just want to finish the lesson today because we want to focus on the cross. And like my old coach used to say, bring it in, boys, and take a knee. Head up here. This next song is about where we need to have ourselves. We need to kneel at the cross and keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's stand and sing.
He intercedes for you. Lift up your voice, lay with him your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross, kneel at the cross. Cross, give your idols up, above. Turn on again to life's sparkling cup, trust always in his love. Kneel at the cross, leave every care.
Just a 30-second commercial. As most of you know, about 3 months ago, my wife, Jessica, was diagnosed with breast cancer. And as of today, everything's good. She's cancer-free. So kind of like Coach said, you know, face-to-face is sometimes always better. So instead of, you know, text and phone calls and cards, we decided that I would come up here. And there's not enough gratitude or thanks to let everyone in this church know how grateful we are of you guys. When adversity happens to someone in this church or someone goes through a bad time, all these church members, every single one of you, rally around and give that uplifting that an individual needs. So we can't thank you enough for all your prayers, all your meals, everything on our behalf while we were going through that time of adversity. So once again, we appreciate it, and we love you all.
Thank you, Landon. We appreciate y'all. Appreciate everybody being here this morning. It's been a good morning to be together with family. This is a great family. Amen. We all have a part to play, as Coach said. So let's find our place and let's get to work. I wanted to tell you the offering that we took up the last couple of weeks for the Ukraine. Over the last 2 weeks, we've raised $10,500. And also for the fire victims, we raised $1,150. So thank you very much for that. And if you still need, still want to give, that's available. So just make that to the church. If you would pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church family. We thank you for the love that we have for one another. May our love for one another continue to grow. May our love for you continue to grow. And may we get better at serving one another, at serving you, and in serving our community. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice that was made for each one of us. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy that you have extended to us. And that because of that great love that you have for us, we can live with you one day if we'll only follow you. Be with us this week. Continue to help us to see opportunities that you put before us. Help us to take advantage of those opportunities and bless other people's lives. We ask all this through Christ. Amen.
Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your help in the song service this morning. We're going to sing one song, and then we're going to be dismissed. And be a blessing, to be a blessing this week to people.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer. Who would have thought of the Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit, we long you offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we pray. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you find us falling before. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we pray. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we pray. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Amen. Be a blessing this week.